Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's up, brother? It's the Tuesday edition of the Believe in Steelers show. It is NFL draft week, special teams, special plays, special players. I'm going to tell you about why I think that the Steelers are going to draft Graham Barton out of Duke with the 20th overall pick on Thursday night. I cannot believe that it's draft week. We'll also go through top linebackers and running backs in this year's draft. Before we get too far along, today's episode of the Believe in Steelers show is brought to you by betonline.ag. If you want to place a bet on any of the draft action, where players will be selected, NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, betonline.ag is the place to do it. Use our promo code BELIEVE that's on your screen right now. It's spelled B-L-E-A-V at betonline.ag to get started. BetOnline, where the game starts. The question you're going to have to ask yourself is, who are the Pittsburgh Steelers going to pick with the 20th overall pick? And just yesterday, on Monday, Omar Khan, Mike Tomlin, reporters before the start of the draft, I think Graham Barton is the guy. And here's the reason why. We found out last week that it was leaked that the Steelers were linked to Barton. This isn't the only show that's been saying this now for about a week. You've seen it out among national reporters that at 20, the Steelers like Barton, who played left tackle at Duke, to play center. And BetOnline, who's a sponsor of our show, has projected Barton at 20 and a half, meaning you can go over or under. The Steelers select at 20. I think if the Steelers remained at 20, that he is going to be the pick for the Pittsburgh Steelers, because Steelers don't have a starting center right now. You can say, oh, I like Herbig to fill in, or move James Daniels over from the guard position, or other players. On the current roster, the team doesn't have a starting center. And I'll say this too, I'd bet my mortgage, whether it's not Barton, that it's either Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson, or Zach Frazier that are going to be Pittsburgh Steelers, I'd say by the end of Friday night, because we'll see what happens with round one, which players fall in the draft, and then what happens on day two with rounds two and three. But it's funny, during that news conference, Mike Tomlin was asked about what characteristics he looks at with players that have gone from guard to tackle, from guard or tackle, and to move over to the center position. And the Steelers tried to do this a few years ago with Kendrick Green out of Illinois going from guard to center. Mike Tomlin is really looking for two characteristics: football IQ, playing in the middle, identifying defenses, getting your line and your protection set, calling out blitzes, just doing, being the quarterback of the offensive line, if you will. That's number one. And number two is background playing the position. You say, Mark, well, Graham Barton played left tackle at Duke. Why is that? He's got to go up against the Clemsons and the Florida States of the world. 4- and 5-star recruits consistently, right? So he had to play left tackle at Duke. He played center early on in his career for the Blue Devils. And a lot's going to be made with Duke of, well, Riley Leonard made that engine go and the team wasn't the same after Riley Leonard got hurt. And that is true. But when the team started out 4-0, College game day came to Durham for the very first time. I would know, I live in Raleigh, North Carolina, 30 minutes away. And I'm not talking for hoops. I'm talking about the gridiron in football. Mike Elko, now the head coach at Texas A&M, his success was predicated upon playing a style of football familiar with the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's ball control. That's controlling the line of scrimmage. That's not turning the ball over, winning the turnover battle. And hey, we're going to run the ball down your throat and try to stop us. Graham Barton was a big part of that on the offensive side of the ball. Dwayne Carter, who is a defensive tackle in this draft, he'll get selected on day two or day three, was that key for the line of scrimmage for the Duke Blue Devils' success the last two seasons. And so Mike Tomlin was explaining the background of a player, of someone who's done it in games previously in his career or even in practice. Other than Graham Barton, who's he talking about? He didn't specifically name Graham Barton on Monday, but you've got the report saying that the Steelers are going to take him. You had the characteristics that Mike Tomlin described yesterday of who else could he be talking about. And then you look at the odds market of what not necessarily will happen, but what is likely to happen. Graham Barton's over-under per betonline.ag is 21.5. The Steelers select at 20. And barring a major, major, major talent falling to them, I think that the Steelers go and get Graham Barton out of Duke with the 20th pick. And if for whatever reason there's a prospect that they really like that falls to them at 20, I think it's either Jackson Powers Johnson or Zach Frazier. One of those three players, I'd bet my mortgage on one of those three being Pittsburgh Steelers. I think Barton's the pick at number 20, assuming that the Steelers don't make any trades on Thursday night, up or down. So that's what I think that's going to happen. A few other takeaways that I had from Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin speaking to reporters on Monday. They both said that there's a handful of starting centers in this year's draft. So that's why I throw Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon, Zach Frazier into that mix. Cedric Van Pran out of Georgia, I think, is another player potentially. But I do think it's going to be one of those top three. And then the fifth-year options for both Najee Harris and Justin Fields, the Steelers will officially decide that next week after the draft. So I think here's what that means is I think they pick up Najee Harris's fifth-year option. I don't think that they'll pick up Justin Fields' fifth-year option. That's how I see that playing out. We'll see what happens officially next week. But this is why I think Russell Wilson will start the season is you suppress Justin Fields' value by not playing him. It's really as simple as that of if he's not on the field, you can't see what he can do in showcasing his ability. And another team's not going to want to say, well, he hasn't played in a year. I don't know what I have with him as a quarterback. Versus if he plays and plays well, you're going to have to pay him money. It's as simple as that. A couple of other things too. I think that the Steelers are going to select a receiver. It's been like 20 years since they've gone back-to-back drafts without picking a receiver. And Mike Tomlin was asked about why are there so many talented receivers and corners, and it's the style of football played in 2024 and beyond. Three receiver sets, four receiver sets. We want to know which linebacker will be opposite Patrick Queen this season. You know, it's something we'll talk about here with the linebacker prospects here in just a second. But Mike Tomlin's saying, hey, the prevalence of 7-on-7, the style of football, spread it out. Get the ball to your playmakers in space. It's a loaded receiver class on day two. I think there's going to be a lot of guys where we look back and say, how did that player go day two compared to someone who went day one? And I love the top three prospects in Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze. And Nabers and Odunze are like a 2A, 2B. I do think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the top dog in this year's receiver class, but a ton of other talented receivers. And he said the same could be said about the cornerback position. And a lot of that is the prevalence of 7-on-7s earlier on, junior high and high school, and the development of football players all over the country. And yes, the Steelers have a base 3-4 defense, but you're going to be in nickel and dime packages more than you think. So you got Joey Porter Jr., you got Dante Jackson and the trade with Deontay Johnson. Hopefully you like what you have with Corey Trice Jr. coming back from an injury and robbed of what would have been his rookie year. You're going to need another cornerback at some point in time too. You're going to need another receiver to complement George Pickens. So those were my big takeaways from Monday's media availability between Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin. So we'll see how all of that shakes out. And briefly, let me get to the top linebackers in this year's draft. And it's tough because the linebacker position has been devalued in the NFL. It's a lot like running backs. There's running backs isn't as valued as much, so you don't need the defender to chase down ball carriers. But, you know, we liked what we had in the three players of Cole Holcomb, Quan Alexander, and Elandon Roberts. Each of those players dealt with injuries last year. So I do think that the Steelers could select a linebacker on day two or day three. I go Edgerrin Cooper, Texas A&M, as my number one. And just a dominant, dominant player in the SEC. The SEC to me is as close as you get to the NFL. Edrin Cooper owns six dogs too, just in case you were wondering. Just an alpha of a player, 34-inch arms as well, can stack, shed would-be blockers, violent mindset. Just plays downhill, aggressive, violent mindset. He's potentially a guy I could see you going to get maybe in day two. But Edrin Cooper out of A&M is my number one. Number two, I'll go Junior Colson out of Michigan. If you listen to my last podcast, I absolutely loved what Michigan did this last year. The Wolverines are going to have a lot of draft picks in this year's draft. But Junior Colson, great instincts and specifically in coverage as well. It's not just in the running game with Colson. I really, really like. And for me, with Colson, joker, meaning rare versatility, relentless motor, but you can move him all over. He's versatile. He's not just going to line up in one position. You can move him around to create matchup problems. A lot of the testing at the combine he did not do, didn't run the 40, vertical jump, bench, broad jump, three cone drill, 20-yard shuttle, didn't do a lot of that, but a tough, versatile, tone-setting linebacker. That's Junior Colson out of Michigan. Number three, I'm going to go to Raleigh, North Carolina, right in my backyard, and that is Peyton Wilson. Ran a very impressive 40-yard dash at the combine. 6'4", 233. The age concerns are there. He's 24 years old. Injury concerns earlier on in his college career. But you look at a 4.43 in the 40. Explosive player. But that speed translates on the field. When NC State played Notre Dame early in the season in Raleigh, it was a game I was at. Peyton Wilson's chasing down Notre Dame ball carriers that could run 4.3, 4.4 in the 40. And he's chasing them down. The Monday after the game, NC State's head coach Dave Dorn meets with media members and tells reporters that in the history of the program, Peyton Wilson was running faster than any player they've ever tracked in the history of NC State. I don't know how fast or how long, I don't know how long that tracking goes by, but you're saying a linebacker's faster than any DB, receiver, running back ever in the history of the program? Go back and watch some of that tape from the Notre Dame game. His ability to play fast, elite athleticism, and being able to chase down ball carriers from sideline to sideline. His success is predicated upon if you have stud linemen in front of him and you allow him to use his speed, if you have a lineman that has sound gap responsibility and that can maybe even plug two gaps, Peyton Wilson up front is going to be able to run down anybody. And so it's not just the fast 40 that you see at the combine that you fall in love with, but that also shows up on tape. The Chuck Bednarik Award winner given to the best defensive player in all of college football. I absolutely love Peyton Wilson because of his ability to fly to the football. And again, the injury concerns, he re-tore his right ACL during summer training camp back in 2018. It's been a few years now, though. But absolutely filled up the stat sheet, and he's one of the best defensive players in the history of NC State football. That's Peyton Wilson. He's my number three linebacker. Number four, I'm going to go with Jeremiah Trotter Jr., whose dad played in the league a long time out of Clemson. A little bit undersized, 6 foot, 228, but short area quickness is what it's all about with this guy. Compact, muscular frame, rangy playmaker, and I always love players whose dads played in the league because they can learn from their fathers of what to do and what not to do. And Jeremiah Trotter's dad was an excellent player for years in the NFL. And so you go to Clemson where you don't have the team success that maybe you want to, from maybe, say, 5 years ago. Lacks length, undersized, but you don't think that's going to put a chip on his shoulder going into the league? Four-star prospect out of Philadelphia, and he's aggressive, he's rangy. Again, he's going to probably need bigger players up front to protect him a little bit. The lack of size and length, a little bit of a concern, but if you have good linemen in front of him, he's going to be able to make plays for you. Jeremiah Trotter out of Clemson's number four. And I'm going to go Cedric Gray out of North Carolina as my fifth linebacker. talking about a guy who had three consecutive seasons of 100 plus tackles all over the football field. And it was not his fault. The past 2 years, at the end of the year, North Carolina's defense fell off. And there's a reason why Gene Chizik, the defensive coordinator there, no longer is employed as the defensive coordinator of the North Carolina Tar Heels. But Cedric Gray was a constant. And again, three straight seasons, 100 plus tackles, sideline to sideline speed. And he's a very solid player. He's my fifth linebacker. So again, let me recap really quickly my top five. I would go Edrin Cooper, Texas A&M, Junior Colson, Michigan. Number three, I'd go Peyton Wilson, NC State. Four, I'm going to go Jeremiah Trotter out of Clemson. Five, Cedric Gray out of North Carolina. Those are my top five linebackers. And day two or day three, who's paired opposite? Patrick Queen. I could see one of those players selected by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's go to running back, and I'll go and wrap the show after that. Let's go to the running back position, though. And I know this is devalued. The Steelers likely don't need a running back with Najee Harris and Jalen Warren coming back. So I don't expect the Steelers to select a running back. But number one, Florida State's Trey Benson. Tackle breaking, sturdy, good balance, low center of gravity. 6'2", 216. He's able to just not get knocked off his spot. 4.39 in the 40 as well. He's taller, but he's got low cuts. He's got a nice frame. He's got quick feet. It's a little bit of a taller back, but he just doesn't get knocked off as easily for someone who is 6 foot. So he's my number one at the running back position. Number two, let's go Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. Highly elusive. 6'2", 216, more than 6 yards a carry, 10 touchdowns, athletic frame, quick feet, slippery runner too. So Jonathan Brooks is my number two. Blake Corum out of Michigan. The last two seasons, Michigan's dominated the line of scrimmage. Pop on the tape against rival Ohio State. How's that game won and lost? Dominating up front. And it's the big boys up front. But Corum, he was a big part of that Michigan offense. And it ran through him. You talk about the team's identity offensively. Blake Corum was that guy. 5'8", 205, low pad level though. And to me, it's almost like a Jalen Warren or a Maurice Jones-Drew type running back. And compact, muscular frame, quick feet, low center of gravity. Not the biggest guy in the world. A 4.53 in the 40, maybe you like that a little bit, to be a little bit faster, but a chain mover. And a guy who, you know, he's not going to go down on the first tackle. And we're using his low center of gravity effectively. That's Blake Corum out of Michigan. Two more I'll get to. Well, three more. I lied. Jalen Wright out of Tennessee, 5'11", 210. It's funny, 4.38 in the 40. He gets some comparisons because of the Tennessee connection to Alvin Kamara, but a little bit faster. Former high school state title holder in the 55-meter dash and a 4.38 in the 40, a vertical jump 38, a broad jump of 11 feet, 2 inches. Explosive player. I'm not sure if Jalen Wright can be your number one guy, but a great complementary back where if he gets into a tandem where you have a power running back, he can be your lightning to your thunder. That's Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. Marshawn Lloyd out of USC. A little bit like Corum. 5'9", 220, thicker, short. Again, that Maurice Jones-Drew, Jalen Warren type build. Throw Kyren Williams with the Rams out of Notre Dame a few years back. Kind of in that same style. A lot of missed tackles. It's hard to tackle a guy with good footwork and a low center of gravity. And 7.1 yards per carry this last season. At USC. Transfer from USC to South Carolina. So you might hear that used synonymously with Marshawn Lloyd. He played at both USCs, if you will. And then let me go with Audric Estime out of Notre Dame. Total bruiser. 5'11", 221 is what he's listed at. He looks bigger than that. You see the 4.71 in the 40. So he is not a home run hitter. Chain mover, power guy, bruiser. he'd be my honorable mention at number six. He's built like a tank. Like it's the old Eddie Lacy style. It's the old, Derrick Henry's got better straight line speed out in the open field. But you talk about a lot of missed tackles and the yards after contact, power back. That's his team out of Notre Dame. So let me recap the running backs, and I'll go ahead and sign off here. Trey Benson, Florida State's my number one. Jonathan Brooks out of Texas is my number two running back. Blake Corum out of Michigan, the do-it-all playmaker at number three. Number four, Jalen Wright, the speedster out of Tennessee. Five, I'll go Marshawn Lloyd out of USC. And then six, the honorable mention, Audric Estime out of Notre Dame. The physicality that you just absolutely have to love watching the running back position. My name is Mark Bergen. Thank you for watching another edition of Believe in Steelers. Next week, I'll be talking with Ike Taylor, recapping the Steelers draft. But the position breakdowns are going to continue. We've got quarterbacks, wide receivers, cornerbacks, and safeties left. I'll also have a Steelers mock draft before Thursday's first round of the NFL draft. Thursday night, I'll be live on YouTube reacting to whoever the Steelers pick at number 20. I think it's going to be Graham Barton out of Duke, but there is a lot ahead here on the Believe Network. Thank you to betonline.ag, today's presenting sponsor on Apple and Spotify. Leave a 5-star review. And on YouTube, do me a favor, hit that subscribe button. Hope all of you have a great rest of your days. Happy Tuesday. Tuesday. My name is Mark Bergen. I'll see you next time. Take care. So long, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.